have been feeling disconnected from God. Now, I can give you so many great reasons as to why, and I'm sure if you have ever been in this sort of headspace, you probably could as well. You know, if you were to ask me why I feel disconnected, why I feel like I can't really relate to God or connect with Him, He sort of feels distant. I would say that, you know, I've been busy with my family, with my friends, with my church, classes, general personal issues and struggles. And honestly, all of these excuses would be fair and reasonable. Honestly, if I was to set aside kind of that false pretense and the tendency we Christians have to kind of give ourselves a little too much grace, I think my issue would be that I'm disappointed and I'm discouraged with God. At this point in my life, I thought it would look much different than it does right now. And in some ways, don't get me wrong, it is so much better than anything that I thought that I could have ever imagined. But unfortunately, in some ways, it's the exact opposite of what I've imagined. To be honest, you know, I thought I would be in a different place right now with career, with family, with a relationship, with so many things. There's so many things in my life that I could pinpoint as to why I'm struggling with God and struggling with faith. And it feels foolish saying this, but the goal here is to be honest and to speak about things that a real Christian goes through, especially when you're young and going through things for the very first time, very hard things for the very first time. Honestly, it feels like God could have written this part of my story, this part of my life better. And I know it's a lot of pressure to put on God and a lot of expectations to put on God. And it kind of negates the reality that I also have free will and I've made decisions that probably aren't the best decisions. And I'm also responsible for some dissatisfaction. I know that on an intellectual level. I know that on a counseling, if someone was on the other side and I'm counseling them and I'm telling them, it's so easy to intellectualize it and know these things. But when I'm on this end, when I'm on the end of feeling disconnected, feeling disappointed, discouraged, all of these things that are painful, painful and disturbing. It's frustrating. And I can't help myself but take out that frustration on God. Because who else? You know, I can only beat myself up so much. And there is kind of a freedom in shifting the blame and shifting the disappointment and the discouragement all on God's plate. And I hate that feeling has kept me from reading my Bible and praying. But when you've built up this mix of emotions, it becomes very hard to bring myself to do what I know what I should be doing. And maybe if you've ever gone through this, maybe it's not as severe as what I'm going through or this feeling that I have. But even just mild disappointments or disappointments that keep coming one after the other, it discourages you. And I'm sure at some point you have felt discouraged in your faith, felt like, Lord, what is going on here? Why is this happening? Why are things going this way? What did I do? Or what did I not do? Like, I can't understand this and I can't bear this. And because of all my frustration, because of all of my pain and my suffering and just all of it, it is making me want to set aside my faith. Or not necessarily my faith. It makes me stop wanting to read. Stop wanting to read your word. Stop wanting to pray to you and ask you for help. Because honestly, sometimes how I feel, it's like, Lord, why would I even ask for your help? I don't expect you to answer. And it is a really bad place. It is a sad place, a depressing place, a lonely place to kind of approach God in that way. And you know, I'll ask myself, like, what do I do now? I'm asking myself right now, actually, like, what do I do now? Where does my relationship with God go from here? Does God even want a relationship with me after having all this doubt, having these emotions? But God, by His grace and goodness, is not me. And I think to get the answer to those questions, we need to kind of understand why we get like this, why we feel like this. I've thought of like four big things, honestly, that play to this issue that are a part of it. I think number one, it's just general life problems. I know so many friends that have relationship issues, either with their husbands or fiancés, boyfriends, parents, siblings, friends, church, just any relationship that you have. And when any issues pop up, it can cause a lot of disturbance, a lot of aches, a lot of doubt in God. Health issues are a big one. Health issues that you feel like, Lord, why are you taking my health away from me? Why are you cutting short my life? Like, what did I do? And especially the ones like who have been so healthy, who have made it a point to be healthy, be the best version of themselves physically, for God to attack that. Oh my gosh, it's like a burden. It's an ache. And it's like, Lord, why? A big one too is financial issues. And seeing like, Lord, you've blessed all of these people who aren't Christian, who aren't yours, and I literally can't feed my family, or I can't pay my bills, I can't make my rent, I'm about to be homeless. Like, God, do you even care? Do you see this? I need help. Aren't you the God who has cattle on the hill and all of this stuff, the Father who clothes the lilies of the valley and all of these things that you say you provide, but where's my provision? And, you know, other things are just general failures and things that we pursue, things that we have hoped and things that we thought God was opening the doors for, and yet they just get shut in a crazy way that doesn't make sense and it bothers us. I think number two, you know, this one can be a little tricky, but a big one too is unrepentant sin. Sin that leads to guilt and shame, and eventually that guilt and that shame separates us from God, and we don't notice it initially. Like, I'll struggle with lying, and I'll put a little lie, I'll sprinkle a little lie, and then that lie just grows and grows and grows, and then I just start to feel so guilty, and then I'm like, ugh, like, God, like, if I come to you and I ask for forgiveness, knowing that, like, I have to repent, meaning I have to set this sin aside, it's going to cause a lot of problems, and it's going to cause so many problems, so many things, and then that shame builds, and it's like, God, I want a relationship with you, but I don't want to set aside this sin, because my life is going to get thrown into even more chaos, and there's this tension and there's this stress between unrepentant sin and distance from God, and the separation that it causes. It just is a mess. And sin is such a huge thing that separates me from God. And I like kid myself, and I put myself in this situation that I'm like, there's no way that God is ever going to forgive me, or that God wants to forgive me. I'm literally the most disgusting, sinful human being in the world. Like, there's just no way. Not quite understanding that that's not how God operates. That's not how he wants us to deal with him. But the solution is for another section. But unfortunately, unrepentant sin is something that causes that disconnect. Number three, sometimes we're just spiritually empty. I know once I start like hyper-focusing on my life, like living for myself, saying no to church stuff, starting to have a bad attitude, stop respecting my parents because I'm so stressed over everything that's going on, or not giving proper attention and respect in the relationships that I have, or in anything, just starting to live for myself, like just being cruel. And like not intentionally cruel, but just like being so self-centered that I just stop caring about everybody else. I stop caring about like even holding the door open for an old lady, that like I'll roll my eyes. And, you know, just living for myself, not living for God. You know, instead of reading my Bible, scrolling through TikTok for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, scrolling and not even like thinking, oh, I should pull out my Bible and just read for 10 minutes and then go back to scrolling or whatever. Not praying and not asking God for help and trust, and then starting to like puff myself up, thinking I'm the one who's running the show. I'm the one who's making my life so great and so good. And I don't need God for what? I don't need God. I'm doing it all on my own. And then slowly, slowly that starts depleting and weakening. You know, we have our flesh and we have our spirit. And if you're not feeding one, you're feeding the other. And unfortunately, our spirit is typically more on the malnourished side than our flesh. So that can be an issue. When we are in this state of spiritual emptiness, we can start to isolate ourselves from God's people, from Christians who can really help us and support us and say, hey, like, let's read together. Let's go out to a coffee shop and just read a little snippet from the gospel. Or can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? How are you doing? How's your soul? All of these things we start to isolate because our flesh and our pride can't handle being around that caliber of spirituality and that caliber of faith and trust in that relationship with God. You know, we don't like being shamed. And I know when I've been in situations, people who are so holy, so devout, so amazing, they put me to shame. And then I start feeling bad and guilty, and it does not feel good. And that makes me just even more apathetic to God. Number four, I think that is probably foundational to a lot of these issues, is not having a good and healthy understanding of who God is. You know, we perceive God as ignoring us, ignoring our troubles, turning a blind eye to our pain. And in that, he seems distant, almost like he doesn't care. And sometimes I even think, like, God, you're showing up for everybody else except me. Like, do you hate me that much? Do you despise me that much? Am I that repugnant to you, God, that you would rather, like, show up in all these people's lives, do all of these amazing things for all these other people, and yet you can't even bother to do a single thing for me? And all of these thoughts come from not understanding God. And a lot of that pain and a lot of the discomfort and the frustration and the agony of it all, because honestly, it's agony. You know, sometimes when we see God blessing other people and we see God doing all these things, like, Lord, I've been praying for this for so long, and you're this person, like, they're praying just for like a day and you answer. What is going on here? Like, what is this system that you have going on? And I think we get frustrated because we don't understand God. We don't understand what he's doing. We don't understand what he wants. And so I think those are the four basic problems. And, you know, how do we overcome these things? How do we overcome these mountains of issues? At some points, especially if you're going out at this alone, it can seem impossible. And it's a huge red flag, especially if you are basing everything on a poor understanding of who God is. I mean, just think about it. Anytime, like in normal relationships, when we assume things about people, we are usually, and we assume negative things, we're usually wrong. And I'm sure if you think about a situation, you can find a time where you made an assumption about somebody and then you were like shamefully proven wrong. And I think we often do that with God. At least I do. I often attribute the wrong character traits and the wrong things to God because of a lack of proper understanding and proper faith, honestly. And I think I owe it to God to give him the grace he deserves, the grace that he has extended to me. I think I owe it to myself to get to know him. And I think we all collectively owe it to ourselves to get to know him on an individual level, individual basis. I mean, if we think about it, if we don't know him well, anytime he doesn't do something that I think he should, or anytime he doesn't perform in a way that I think he should, my faith is going to be so shaken. And then I start to make him act like I start to perceive him as a genie who's not doing his one function in life. I tend to have this misunderstanding, and I tend to have this conflict inside of me where I think God's purpose is to serve me and make me a priority in all things and situations. And I think that comes from a misunderstanding of the gospel, that I need to serve him and glorify him. The whole purpose of my existence is to glorify him. And in glorifying him, I will be enjoying him, enjoying the life he's put before me. And I can't glorify someone I don't know. And unfortunately, I can't give you the information on God. I can't make him known to you. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I wish anyone could, honestly. But God is a person. You know, Jesus is a person. The Holy Spirit, he is a person. The Father is a person. And to know a person, they have to reveal themselves to you. God has to reveal himself to you. I can't give you that knowledge. I can't give you that relationship. I can't make that discovery for you. It's his desire and it's his design to do it, to get you to where you need to go, to get you in that relationship. The same way that somebody can't make me fall in love with Christ, and maybe they can warm up my heart towards him, they can pique my interest, they can make the gospel beautiful and understand and help me understand what's kind of going on in the story. But to build that relationship, to build that intimate relationship that has faith and trust and hope and joy, that has to come on an individual level. The best I can do is point you in the right direction. And funny enough, the direction that helps us know God greater also addresses all of the other issues. I think the number one thing that we need to kind of unpack and reframe is prayer. I think it's misunderstood a bit, because prayer, we can actually talk to God and he hears us. Like, he hears me when I pray. But in prayer, I have to understand what kind of put the barrier between me and God in the first place. You know, what was that thing that stopped me and God from having that open line of communication? And the whole reason why Christ had to come and die for my sins was that, like, the whole reason why Christ had to come on this earth and die and be, this is a fun theological word that I like, the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins, the one who took on our sins, who literally became sin and was crucified and paid the penalty for all of our mistakes, the perfect one, the sinless one, had to come and take on sin just so that we can have that open channel and that opportunity to repent and speak to God. And he died, like Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died to open up that way of communication. And it's the biggest lie that has ever entered my head, that I've sinned so much, I've done so much wrong, God can never take me back, or God can never heal my situation or help me. Because that's not the case. Like, Christ died for all sins. And in the Father's infinite knowledge, he knew everything I was going to do. Every time I would ever backslide, every time I would choose the wrong thing instead of the right thing. Like, he knew it all, and he still chose to die for every single sin that I would ever do. Every mistake, pre and post salvation, he paid for it. It's all covered. You know, I'm good. And so I need to understand that he never gets tired of me. He never gets tired of forgiving me for my sin. And he loves me. And the Father is always ready to forgive, and the Son is always ready to be that mediator. And so an important part of prayer, I think, is attacking that number two issue, that issue of unrepentant sin. You know, before we engage with God as Father, we engage with Holy Spirit as merciful and wonderful counselor, and Jesus as our friend. We have to confess and we have to repent. And repentance is that active turning away from sin. Like, okay, I've sown so many lies. I've deceived so many people. Like, God, today this is where it ends. Today this is where my deception ends. This is where my selfishness ends. This is where my promiscuity ends, or whatever the case is, whatever it is that you sin, whatever it is that you struggle with, whatever sin it is, like, you say, Lord, this is the day that it ends. And this is the day that I set my life apart for you. And if you don't know what sin habit you have in your life, or you don't know what it is, like, pray and ask, like, God, reveal to me what in my life is keeping me away from you. Like, what is it, God? I genuinely don't know what it is in my life that is stopping me from fully trusting you, fully loving you, fully knowing you. And he'll make it known to you. But prayer is the number one way that, you know, prayer is you literally coming to the end of yourself. Like, prayer for me is like, I'm giving up control. I'm saying, God, there's this mountain in front of me and I can't move it on my own. I can't do anything about it. I can't make my problems disappear or any better. I need you. And I trust that coming to you somehow, some way, if you're not going to solve this problem, you're going to give me the wisdom on how to get through this and how to have strength to just be able to make it through. And what prayer has done in my life, it has actually grown my faith. It has actually made me kind of love God more because I feel at peace. Like, okay, God knows, God heard, and he's got my back. And a principle that I learned about just like talking to him and being honest with all of it, with all of my issues, with my disappointments with him, my pain, with my joys, all of it, like being honest and open because he sees it all. Like God sees it all. God knows our thoughts. God knows our feelings, our reactions to things. Like he knows all of it. So who are we kidding by not being honest with him and saying, yeah, God, like I'm disappointed. Lord, I'm about to be 24 and I'm single and I'm disappointed because I thought I would be married at this point. Or God, like I'm disappointed my career has gone this way. Or God, I'm genuinely disappointed and upset and I can't believe you let me marry this guy. I can't believe that you let me do this to myself. Just be honest with what you're feeling and all of it. Just be honest and let it go. Like, do you know how many times I've started a prayer going off on God and just telling him all the things that I was upset with him about? And slowly, slowly, it's kind of funny and embarrassing because I'll be like, okay, wait, maybe you didn't do this. Maybe it's not your fault. I can see now that I'm saying it out loud where I messed up, where I kind of had a part to play. And it's kind of funny because I can't explain it. Like, I can't explain it. I'm just going to tell you, you have to go through it yourself. You have to go and you have to talk to God and go through it yourself to know what I'm talking about. But it's like, he knows. And then that minute that I'm honest with him, he literally just, like, he opens my mind up and my eyes up to see where I've been a little foolish and where I need to take a breath, take a step back, and see that he is good in the whole situation. Maybe I made bad decisions, or maybe whatever is going on here, I don't know, I don't quite understand. But what I do understand is that he is still good in the situation. He is still holy, and he still has my back, even if I messed up. And if you find yourself struggling with belief, struggling with faith, the good thing is you can ask him, God, help my unbelief, help my faith. Ephesians says, faith is a gift. Well, God, I'm in need of a serious gift. I need faith. And see what he does in your life. Okay, number two, and we have kind of touched on this before, but reading your Bible. The best thing we can ever do for our spiritual lives and for our mental health and for our sanity is to get to know the Lord our God. The more we know him, the more we know how he works, how he thinks, how he acts, the less we will believe the lies that find their way into our heads. And to know God is to love God. I can't stress the importance of just reading the word. And the way I read is like, I'll literally read a passage and I'll be like, wait, I don't get this, God. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say here? Why do you use this specific word? Why did you name this specific person? What are you getting at here? Why is this happening? What's going on in the context? What's going on historically? What's going on? Just asking so many questions, asking God, engaging. If you saw my Bible and you saw how many questions like I have in the margins, or if you look in my journals after I finish my reading, like go and Google why this, why that. And like even like in that moment, pray and be like, Lord, what's going on here? What is going on here? Actually engaging with the text, actually being interested in it. Like I've noticed a difference between when I just read to check a box and then reading because I actually want to know. I'm actually hungry. I'm actually thirsty. I'm telling myself, like, no, you're sitting here, you're reading because you're not reading to check a box. You're reading to get to know your God, to get to know your Savior, to see how He loves you, to see how He knows you, how He cares for you, how He provides for you. I literally have to talk to myself and I have to tell myself, you are going to take this seriously. You're going to take this seriously and you're going to love Him and you're going to go about this in a way that is going to honor God in your thoughts. It's me talking to myself, by the way. Like, I tell myself, if I'm going to go about this reading to check a box, I might as well not read. I might as well save it for a day that I'm going to actually honor His word and honor what this text is saying and what He is trying to communicate to me than read and read foolishly. And so, like, I'll sit down, play some worship music, talk to myself, tell myself, like, you want to know God more. You love God. I pray and I ask God, increase my hunger for you. Center my mind. Like, I need help because I don't want to get into this headspace to where I don't care about your word. I don't care about what's going on here. This is not where I want to be. This is not the path I want to take. And it takes a lot of humility. And I'm not trying to puff myself up in any way, but it takes discipline to stop and say, I need help. I need intervention. I need the Holy Spirit here. And I need to approach God's word with the reverence that it deserves. And I need to take Him seriously and take His word seriously. And so you do that. By the way, I'm not against, like, commentaries or Bible studies or anything. I think, you know, we have resources available to us. Like, let's go. Let's get better understanding of what the scripture says, context for sure for the scripture. But I think we have to make sure that they're just supplements to our Bible reading and not like the whole meal. Because it's very easy to just rely on a pastor to tell you what you should be thinking about the scripture. It's really easy to go on YouTube, find somebody who speaks very well and eloquently and just basically tell you what God is saying and what you should be thinking instead of you actually going and searching and getting that knowledge for yourself between you and God. So I always say Bible studies, commentaries, all of these things are great supplements, but they're not your main meal. Like, we need to take ownership and we need to claim our relationship with Christ and take seriously reading the Bible and waiting for the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures for us. And finally, number three, the most important thing when we're getting in a place where we become distant and cold, apathetic to what God is saying, we need to make sure we're getting fellowship. We as humans, like, psychologically, we as humans, we were never built for isolation. We were built to lean on one another and built to be communal beings. I want you to think of it this way. You know, there's a lot of biological reasons why our bodies produce heat, a lot of benefits to ourselves. But another benefit is that when one of us is cold, we can warm the other person up. So if you've ever gotten spiritually cold, I think it is a healthy practice to go to someone who you know is on fire, who you know is warm, and go and warm up. Let them fan your flame. Let them give you a little spark to get you going and to motivate you. I've learned that I need to be honest when I need help and when I need love and when I need someone to encourage me to stay faithful and to stay hopeful. I've learned that it is not something to be ashamed about. It's not something to kind of let get to my head, or I need to put up this face that I'm perfect, that I'm this holy spiritual being when I'm actually struggling. These are all like weird lies we tell ourselves. But if I'm struggling, if I'm hurting, if I'm angry at God, if I'm angry at a situation, if I need help to just get clarity and get prayer, there's nothing more beautiful than going to someone who I know loves God, who I know loves me, and asking them, please, can you help me? Can you care for me? Can you show me how Jesus is here, how He wants to be my Savior and my friend, and how He's going to help me through it? I need help. I need you to show me all of the things. Every Christian has certain aspects, and they show certain things about who Christ is. Like Christ has, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, like they have certain aspects to who they are that just showcase who Christ is, who God is. And we can go to them and we can see Christ's characteristics manifested in these people. His love, his care, his kindness, his hospitality, his generosity, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, all of these things, we can see it in the body of Christ. So I encourage you to go and discover and to get that help. You're not weak for needing help. You're not weak for asking for help. It just makes you human. It makes me human. And it helps. You know, whenever someone comes to me and says, hey, I'm struggling, can you please help me? Can you please pray for me? Do you know what that does to me? That makes me so excited. That makes me so happy that someone feels comfortable enough and they see my walk with the Lord as beautiful enough to come and ask me to encourage them, to spark in them a light and a flame. So never feel like you're a burden. Never feel like you're doing anything wrong or you shouldn't be open. You shouldn't be vulnerable, because that's not true. In your vulnerability, in your openness, you are blessing somebody else. And the relationship that I've gained, the relationships that I've gained for being there for people and having people be there for me, it is the most beautiful thing in the whole world. It is the most rewarding thing in the whole world. And those friendships, those relationships have been a taste of heaven because of what God has done and what God has used in those amazing women and men of his children. God doesn't make it hard for connection. We don't have to make a trip to somewhere. We don't have to go through some huge sacrifice situation to a temple to gain access to our God. God is the most accessible being in this whole world, and he makes it so easy to get to him, and he'll never reject us. All we have to do is take him up on his offer and humble ourselves and recognize that being in a relationship with him, it's going to cost us our selfishness. It's going to cost us our pride. And we need to be ready to set all of those things aside and put him first, love him first, trust him first. And he knows that we're going to fail. He knows that we're not perfect. And yet he still chose to come and die and reconcile and be with us. He's always there to point us back to where we need to go. He loves us. He wants us. But he wants all of us, and he'll never settle for less than all of us. And so I kind of have to ask myself, God, can I give you all of me? Am I there yet? And Lord, if I'm not there yet, one, open my eyes so that I can see what I need to work on. And two, please help me get there. Help me get to the place where I can give you all of me. I don't want to hold anything back from you, God. And everything that I've held back up to this point, I am so sorry. Please, Lord, help me and help me to let go of all of the things that I'm holding on to, the control, the pride, the need for all of my dreams and all of my hopes to come true. Lord, I want your hopes for me. I want your desires for me. I want your control. I want to walk in your ways. And so I guess it's just a matter of surrendering. And with that, I hope this has helped you or encouraged you in some way. The whole point of the Connection Podcast is because we need to be able to connect with Christ, to connect who he is with who we are and who he's making us be, and to connect to his church and ultimately with the identity that we have now in Christ Jesus. I can't wait to be with you again, and thanks for listening. Bye.